If you're unhappy at work, can you post anything you want about your boss, your colleagues, or your workplace online? Well, two cases of disgruntled employees serve as cautionary tales. There's Dawn Marie Souza, the Connecticut paramedic, who, while off duty on her own Facebook page, called her boss offensive names related to body parts. She was fired. And then there's English teacher Natalie Monroe, who blogged that her students at Central Bucks East High School in Pennsylvania were rude, disengaged, lazy whiners, and more. She's been suspended, but she's inspired a Facebook group that supports her and another that wants to throw the book at her. Margaret DiBianca is an employment law attorney and editor of the Delaware Employment Law blog. She also gives seminars on workplace social media policy and joins us from WHYY in Philadelphia to talk about this intersection of work and social media. Molly, welcome.
Thank you so much, Robin, for having me.
So let's start with Natalie Monroe. This is the teacher, and she had a blog, and she said it was just for her husband and about seven people who, you know, friends that she would normally tell about complaints she had about work. She used her first name and the initial of her last name. Her picture was on the blog, but she never named the school or the students. She was suspended. Now, what are your thoughts on that, first of all? Do you think that's appropriate?
I do. And I'll tell you why. Because if you review the comments that she actually made, they are particularly harsh, right? For example, one of the comments is that she suggests that one of her students should go look for a job at the trash company.
Yeah.
She uses profanity, talking about her students, calling them specific curse words. I think most parents would agree that if a teacher were to say that either directly to the student or to the student's parent, I think that you can imagine that there would be quite an uproar and that there would be a real outcry for that teacher to be suspended at the very least, if not terminated altogether, because it simply undermines the school's message that they're educators.
What about if she just said those things at a dinner party to the same people who were reading her blogs? Isn't that the same? And then you have Big Brother, you know, her lawyer does say he feels this is a First Amendment free speech issue.
But therein is exactly the problem, because the difference is that she did not say it at a dinner party to a limited audience. She published it on a blog, and the internet is public, and it's public, and it's public. There's no other way to say it. Once you put it online and you make it public for everyone to see, you have to assume that what you write, people will read.
Well, and what difference does it make in this case that Natalie Monroe is a unionized public employee? If she'd worked in a private company, could she have been fired outright just because someone decided they didn't like what she said?
She could have. She could have been fired outright. The difference with the union is this. All employees, whether union or non-union, have rights to engage in collected activity bargaining, or bargaining rights, they're also known as. It does not just apply in a union setting, although that's where we think of it most commonly.
Is this something called concerted activity?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, in fact, some people have advised that if you're going to start a blog at a union workplace just to talk about, you know, just vent about what's going on at the workplace, if you just give it sort of a whiff of, how can we make things better at such and such workplace? Boy, Joe is such a jerk. If you just give it a whiff of what we're doing here is concerted activity to talk about our workplace, well, then you're a little more protected than if you just name call.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. The unions nationally are showing some interest in this area right now. Particularly, there was a complaint that was filed against a Connecticut employer.
Well, let's jump in there, because we did mention Dawn Marie Souza. This is the Connecticut paramedic. Her storyline is that 2 years ago, she was called in to see her boss because of complaints about her allegedly rude behavior in the office in public. And at that time, the company denied her request to have a union representative present at that meeting. So after work, she went onto her Facebook site. She didn't name her company, but she called her boss a lot of really rude names. Mm-hmm. A local firefighter saw it, tipped off the boss, and they have terminated her. But the National Labor Relations Board took up this case, claiming that, wait, she was talking with other coworkers. Doesn't that fall under the concerted activity allowance?
That's exactly right. The end result with that particular case is that it settled before they had any kind of precedent from that case. And in 2009, there was another decision by the National Labor Relations Board called Sears Holding. And in that case, it was almost the exact opposite, where the union filed a charge and alleged that the employer's new social media policy, which prohibited employees from disparaging or demeaning coworkers and even vendors and customers and suppliers, the National Labor Relations Board upheld that policy and said that that was fine. It was a legitimate interest on behalf of the business. So it's the final frontier when it comes to social media from an employment law perspective, the labor component of it, and whether the unions are going to take up this fight and make it more difficult for employers to enforce their social media policies to the extent that they have them in the first place.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because you say that's one of the biggest mistakes companies make. They don't have one. Now, in the case of the Connecticut paramedic, Dawn Marie Souza, as you mentioned, she was fired, but there was a settlement. And as part of that, the company agreed to change its social media policy so it doesn't restrict employees from just talking about work after hours. Again, as we've been pointing out, you have to be careful how you do that. But you say that every company should have some sort of policy so that workers know, what am I allowed to say?
Absolutely. For no other reason, I think it's only fair to your workforce to say to everyone, look, what we say online counts.
Well, and on the other hand, there are cases where companies haven't understood how they can access that information, and they've gotten into trouble for that. You track the case of a New Jersey bar. They got into trouble for forcing employees to log into their invite-only chat rooms and show bosses their rants about work. A Maryland corrections officer was forced to provide his Facebook login and password during a recertification interview. You know, that's not allowed. You can't be forced to do that. But you've heard about financial firms requiring job applicants to log into Facebook accounts in front of the interviewer. Talk a little bit about when you're going for a job. What kind of rights do you have there?
Well, not many. I mean, there's no reason that they cannot ask. And the employee or applicant doesn't have to say yes, but that just means they won't get the job. What I would do if I was an applicant is I would say, what are you looking for? And frankly, the employer absolutely should have a very objective, tangible answer to that question. They shouldn't say, we're looking to see if there's anything bad. That really doesn't cut it. What the responsible employer should be able to say is, we're looking for things such as if you're engaged in or promoting any illegal activity, if there's any information that you've disclosed, confidential information from perhaps your last employer, if there's any kind of racist language or any kind of language that incites hate or violence, because those are things that the employer, if done in the workplace, will be held accountable and liable for.
That's Molly DiBianca, employment law attorney and editor of the Delaware Employment Law blog, talking about social media and just what you can or can't, or maybe shouldn't, use it for at work. Molly, thanks so much.
Thank you.